Now, my boy, let us come back to that particular psychic property of your favorites and the way in which I made use of it for my activities among them at that time in the capacity of a specialist in hypnotism. Although this hypnotism, or as they prefer to say, this branch of their science, arose and became official only recently, it has already become another of the serious factors for a still greater confusion of the psyche of most of them, confused enough without this, and for deranging still further the functioning of their planetary body. After I had become one of these professionals, called a physician hypnotist, I grew quite interested in this official science of theirs. And later, when I made my usual investigations of certain serious questions, for instance, of the results of the activities of the very saintly Ashiata Shiamash, and I chanced to come across something bearing upon this branch of their science, I was also able to make clear to my reason this misunderstanding there. Since the impelling causes of the revival of this branch of their science, which occurred automatically as is usual today, consisted in certain exceedingly peculiar and, as they might say, piquant facts, it will be interesting, in my opinion, to tell you in more detail about this revival. Although contemporary learned beings maintain that the originator of this branch of their science was a certain English professor named Braid, and that it was developed by the French physician Charcot, in reality, this was not so at all. My detailed investigations of this question, by the way, made it clear to me that the former, Braid, had unmistakable signs of the properties of a Khasnas, and the latter, Charcot, the typical properties of a mama's darling. And terrestrial types like this could never have discovered anything completely new. As a matter of fact, it appeared that what happened was the following. A certain Italian abbot, Pedrini by name, was what is called a confessor for a convent in his town. A nun named Efrosinia often came to this abbot for confession. As the story went, it seems that she frequently fell into a certain particular state, and while in this state, she displayed manifestations unusual for her environment. During confession, she complained to the abbot Pedrini that at times she felt herself unmistakably under the influence of diabolical suggestions. Everything she told him and the stories circulated about her intrigued the abbot Pedrini, and he became very much interested in verifying it all for himself. One day, during confession, he tried by every possible means to evoke sincerity in this nun, and succeeded in finding out that this young novice once had a lover who had given her his portrait in a very beautiful frame, and that during periods of rest from her prayers, she allowed herself to gaze at this picture of her sweetheart. And it was just during these periods of rest that it seemed to her that she became possessed of the devil. All this, frankly told by the nun, excited the abbot's interest still further, and he decided at all costs to find out the cause of this phenomenon. With this aim in view, he asked the nun, Efrosinia, to be sure to bring with her the next time the portrait of her lover in its frame. So at the next confession, the nun brought this portrait. There was nothing very special about the portrait itself, but the frame was indeed unusual, being all encrusted with mother of pearl and various colored stones. While the abbot and the nun were both examining the portrait and its frame, he suddenly noticed that something very strange was happening to the nun. First, she became pale, and for a certain time as if turned to stone. And then all at once there began in her precisely the same manifestations in all details as occur between the newly married on what is called the first night. After seeing this, the abbot Pedrini was all the more consumed with desire to understand the causes of such an astonishing manifestation. But as for the nun, 2 hours after this strange state of hers began, she recovered, and it was evident that she knew and remembered nothing of what had happened to her. As the abbot could not decipher the phenomenon by himself, he turned for help to one of his acquaintances, a certain Dr. Bambini. Well, when the abbot Pedrini told everything in detail to the Dr. Bambini, he also became very much interested, and they both began to occupy themselves with this question. They first made a number of elucidatory experiments upon the nun Ephrosinia, and after several what are called seances, they noticed that this nun invariably fell into this peculiar state when her gaze rested rather a long time on one of the brilliant colored stones called a Persian turquoise, which was among the ornaments on the frame of the portrait. But later, when they made experiments upon other people with the same Persian turquoise, they became categorically convinced that almost any three-brained being, without distinction of sex, who gazes for a long time at shining and brilliant objects of certain kinds, falls into a state similar to the one that preceded in the first subject of their experiments. Furthermore, they noticed that the manifestations during this state vary with each subject and depend on the being experiences that were predominant on some former occasion and on the shining objects with which a connection was accidentally established during these experiences of theirs. Well, my boy, as soon as information about the observations, deductions, and experiments of these two beings belonging to the community of Italy spread among the contemporary learned beings of new formation, many of them began to wiseacre about it. And when by chance, as is usual for them, they finally learned that in this state it is possible to change formerly fixed impressions very quickly into new ones, certain of them began to use this particular psychic property inherent in them for medical purposes. And from then on, they called this mode of healing hypnotic treatment, and those beings who practiced it were known as physician hypnotists. But what this state of theirs is and why it occurs in them remains, even up till now, a question that they cannot answer. From that time on, hundreds of theories, still current today, made their appearance, as well as thousands of heavy volumes devoted to this question, muddling still further the reason of the ordinary three-brained beings of this ill-fated planet, already sufficiently muddled without that. This branch of their science has come to be, perhaps, even more maleficent for them than the fantastic inventions of the ancient Hellenic fishermen and of the contemporary beings of the community of Germany. Thanks merely to this branch of their science, there were acquired in the psyche of the ordinary beings of this ill-fated planet several new forms of what are called being calcali, that is, essential strivings, which appeared in the guise of certain definite new teachings existing under the names of Anachronism, Darwinism, Anthroposophism, Theosophism, and many others with names also ending in ism. With the result that even those two data in their presence, which still helped them to be at least a little as three-centered beings should be, have finally disappeared in them. These essential data, which until quite recently have been present in them, engendered the being impulses they call patriarchality and religious feeling. This branch of their contemporary science was the cause not only of the appearance of several additional and pernicious calcali in their common presence, but also of the further derangement in many of them of the abnormal functioning of their psyche, which to their great misfortune had long since been disharmonized to the degree of Alnocurian cacophony. You will understand this very well if I tell you that when I was existing on the continent called Europe and in neighboring countries, and was again practicing as a specialist in hypnotism, almost half my patients were ill on account of the wide dissemination of that maleficent science. And this came about because the learned beings of New Formation were writing many books full of preposterous theories about this question. And when the ordinary beings read them, they became infatuated with these fantasies and began trying to put each other into this hypnotic state, thus bringing themselves to the point of becoming my patients. Among such patients of mine were women whose husbands, having chanced to read these works, wished to suggest their egoistic desires to their wives. Also the children of unreasonable parents, and various men who were under the sway, or as is said there, under the thumb of their mistresses, and so on and so forth. And all this because these sorry learned beings of New Formation cooked up their Hasnamussian theories about this distressing state of theirs. None of the theories current among them on the question of hypnotism correspond in the least to reality. Most recently, by the way, when I was on this unfortunate planet, a new maleficent means began to flourish there for producing on the psyche of beings the same effect as was and still is produced through that branch of their science called hypnotism. And this new maleficent means is named psychoanalysis. You must without fail also know that when the beings of the period of the Tikhlyamishian civilization observed this peculiar psychic property for the first time and understood that by its means certain other properties particularly unbecoming to them could be destroyed, the process of bringing someone into this state came to be regarded as a sacred process and was performed only in their temples before the whole congregation. But your contemporary favorites, on the contrary, do not feel in their presence the slightest being impulse of contrition in regard to this property of theirs, nor do they consider as sacred its concentrated manifestation when intentionally evoked in case of need. And they have even adapted the process itself and its accidentally obtained results for serving as a means of tickling certain of the definitely fixed consequences of the properties of the organ Kundabuffer. For instance, even when they meet together to celebrate some established patriarchal rite, such as a wedding, baptism, birthday, and so on, one of their great diversions is trying to bring one another into this state. It is lucky that they do not know, and let us hope that they never will know, any other method than the one discovered for the first time by those beings of the community of Italy, the Abbot Pedrini and the Dr. Bambini, namely that of gazing at a shining object, by means of which, as I have already told you, certain of them can indeed be brought into this concentrated hypnotic state.